the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I am your host, Jack Merkel, and you are listening to Hammer Lane Legends. And
along full tanks, full DEF, man. Let's put the sucker in gear and go.
That's right. Alongside me, I have my host here, Alex.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And we got
Ghee Butter Snaps.
And we also have
Tony Merkel.
Come on, man.
The rook over there on the sound drops playing with our hearts over there today. That's what he's going to be doing. But we'd like to say, first off, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. You father truckers. No crickets. Okay, that's good. All right, good job.
I actually didn't load the crickets on the machine, so.
Well, anyway, that's good. But, you know, it just adds to the ambiance. So, anyway, before we get into anything fun, today is going to be a voicemail episode. We're going to be throwing all the, I think we have like, what? It looks
a lot.
Like, yeah, it looks like 10, 15 voicemails. So, first of all, thank you all for calling and leaving us some voicemails. But second of all, if you have some of these stories, some of these are long voicemails, come on the show, give us some more stories. You know what I'm saying, right, Tony?
Last week on the, I think, intro, we were talking about it. We have one voicemail on there. Person called twice, and each one is 15 minutes long. So, fair warning right now, Alex, you don't have to stay for the whole session today because I know you have things to do. So, if Alex disappears during this show, it's because he had to go. So,
not because I don't want to listen to you all, but
yeah, no, and I mean, we appreciate them all. So, even if they are 15 minutes long, we 100% appreciate them. But if you have two stories that are 15 minutes long, come on
the show. Or if you have one story that's 15 minutes long.
Even if you have a story that's 2 minutes long, come on the show. You know, chop it up with us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to share with our guests and all of our fans on the show. That'd be great. So, today, before we get into anything, right, let's get down to some business here. Guys, if we're going to prepare for something, what's the best way to prepare?
Prepare.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No. What's the best way?
Alex, do you know? Do you know, Alex?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh, guys.
Show prep, Alex. Show prep. Didn't you get the rundown sheet?
I'm not sure if this is a setup for me, but hey, maybe I'll plug what we have here is preparewithhll.com. What do you guys need to do when it comes to natural disasters, when it comes to economic failure, when it comes to the world imploding on itself? What should you do? It's prepare, right?
Or run and hide.
But
close your eyes, pretend it's not happening.
But you can only survive for so long off of nothing, right? If you're prepared, that gives you all the life and sustenance you need for the future. So when it comes to preparing with HLL, what do you get, Dad?
Everything you need.
Everything you need. And
yes,
Tony,
you do.
Tony, is that, I mean, all you need is right there on preparewithhll.com. What do they have there, Tony?
I'm just sitting over here relaxing, man. I'm just watching you do your thing.
You vibing, huh?
They got a lot of emergency preparedness food. It will last up to 25 years on the shelf, but they don't have just that. They have on that website, if you just click around, you'll see a lot of prepare stuff that's just survival gear, things like that. So it's not just food. I always just talk about the food, but it's everything, anything and everything you need to survive in a survival situation. It's on that website, preparewithhll.com. And so check it out.
Heck yeah, check it out. I mean, emergency blankets, like it's water purification filters, straws, they have water purifiers, air filters. I mean, you name it, they got it. If you go to preparewithhll.com, you can get any of that. And it's worth it because we know now there's always some disaster coming around the pike. So we might as well get ready for it. So preparewithhl.com. Yeah.
You think the toilet paper disaster last year was bad?
Oh, yeah.
What happens when the food's not on the shelves?
That's
and
coming.
There's no toilet paper.
That's coming. That's coming.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you never know.
It's coming. I'm telling you. Listen, just I don't care. Prepared. I don't care what people think and stuff. And I'm telling you, don't be surprised if it happens this year. There's things happening. So just be prepared. Whether it's with us or just getting extra beans and rice when you go grocery shopping, yep. I literally don't care. All I care about is you guys preparing for yes. what's coming because it ain't good. And if you think I'm crazy, well, I don't really care if you think I'm crazy. Just look at what happened last year. Everything that happened last year, nobody thought would ever happen. And people like me who said it could happen were, you know, just crazy until it actually happened. So don't yep. wait around for the next crazy thing to happen that you thought never could happen. Just be prepared. So whether it's with us or just picking up stuff at the dollar store, I don't freaking care. Just take care of your family and yourself and make sure you're good to go.
And what's the worst that can happen? You have some extra food hanging around the house? Not such a bad thing, is it?
Yeah, I mean, in general, most dry... I mean, this food in particular lasts 25 years.
Yep.
But in general, most dry foods, most things
canned
like that,
foods
canned
stuff,
foods,
yep.
they'll last in the last few years and years. Yep. So it's just good to be prepared, like everybody says. So before I say the word prepare another time, I'll say it again. Preparewithhll.com. That's it. There you go. And we also have, ladies and gentlemen, a reworked gear store.
Yes, yes. We do.
I, you know what? I heard it on the show last week. I heard you guys talking about it, I think, the week before as well. But Lindsay did an incredible job on that store.
100%.
I honestly cannot believe how good some of the designs are great. She made, you know, some just really great choices on the what is it? The canteens, the
water
mugs,
bottles,
and
stickers.
Shirts, t-shirts.
Yeah, like she went out and looked
everything.
For designs.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
bought the designs, put them on the t-shirts, all that stuff. Like
she did a great
job. She really put a lot of time and effort, and I'm watching her working on it for weeks until it was right. And so if you haven't checked it out, check it out. There's a lot of good designs on there, a lot of different options, a lot more than just the Hammer Lane logo is what we had pretty much before.
Yeah, exactly.
She really went in on it, and she really utilized the trucker, you know, lifestyle of living off coffee.
Yep.
And,
amen, brother.
Yeah. So
we're all sitting here right now with mugs of coffee anyway. Yeah. So.
We live what we preach.
Yeah.
We walk the talk.
Yeah. Lindsay makes like 2 or 3 pots a day. So.
Oh my gosh. Hey, I think I might have 2 or 3 pots a day as well. So I don't, you know, it just runs in our veins, I think. But.
Pretty much. I mean, listen, you, Dad, when you were a baby, your mom gave you coffee in a bottle.
You got
gosh.
So if you wonder why we're always hooked on coffee, it's because it started when he was a baby.
Yes.
He was given coffee in a bottle, and that's all the kids.
That. Yeah. That's incredible.
So
oh my gosh.
Would not recommend, you know, we learned over the last, you know, 100 years since my dad's been born. It's like, you know, it's like we learned what's good and what's not for babies. And coffee
is definitely good for kids. It's definitely good for children.
Negative.
Negatory on that, Dad.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, but that was, I mean, I'm just so thankful to see that, you know, she did some incredible work like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, if you get a chance, go ahead and check out the gear store. Hammerlanelegends.com/gear. That's how you get there. If you just go to the website, you can check out the gear section.
Right.
I mean, there's, like I said, there's so much stuff there. Also, if you have if you have anything that you'd like to share, please contact us through the email. Our email is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. I will say it one more time. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Now.
Or you can go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com.
Oh, thank you.
And hit the contact section there and contact us that way as well.
Either way works for us.
Yes,
just get a hold of us.
Just.
Seems like somebody says that every time. So
every week.
I'll say it too.
Hey.
But they do work for us. Both of those work for us, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to chop it up, like I said, on the show. It'd be great. And
apparently, everybody knows how to find the voicemail.
I was
going to
say,
they?
Last but not least, we have the king, you know, of this entire show, the voicemail line, which we know you all know how to use it. So thank you for using it. That would be 515-585-MERC. What would that be, Dad? 515-585-6375. Thank you. So if you have any stories, long or short, please give us a call. Let us know what they are. Just even if you'd like to say, hey, you big goofballs, thanks for the show. Or, you know, I don't know.
Just be
keep
nice.
Trucking. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Just be nice. Yeah. But anyway, it's just good to hear from you guys. So without further ado, gentlemen, should we get into the first voicemail of the week?
Sounds good. I mean, what's the date on this oldest voicemail?
The 11th of May.
There, wow. We were due for a voicemail show.
Yes, we were.
So,
oh my gosh, I just scrolled up. Yeah. We had even more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
exactly.
Sorry for the delay. It's just... we had an easier time pumping out voicemail shows when people were canceling and we had to put out a show. And so we're like, voicemail show, perfect timing. And now it's like people aren't canceling their interviews with us, or we're not canceling interviews because we had to do that a little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, it seems like the wintertime bad weather is over. Everybody's available now. It's just like, shoot, when are we going to get the voicemail line done here, Dad? He's watching it grow. And so why not Father's Day?
That well, works. It was a good timing. So let's get into the first voicemail here.
Hey lads, Mike here, just on a run from Houston to Atwood in central northern California. Just got finished listening to the show. Great show. Nice to hear your wives. Very much enjoyed that. It made me think about my day here. You were talking about the stresses of the job. I'll keep this pretty brief. But I just felt compelled to call because as I was finishing the show, I just pulled into a weigh station just to, you know, have a quick break before I head on down the road. But it is a hard job. You know, just for example, staying in touch with my missus, who, you know, is in Los Angeles, and I'm spending a lot more time in the southeast or traveling to the southwest from the southeast. I'm obviously doing coast-to-coast runs, but the times just don't match up. And then generally, my company... You know, they got me running pretty early in the day. And it's probably better for me anyway, being a newer driver, because when I get to the truck stops, you know, I don't really want to be messing with, you know, I've managed to avoid, you know, the majority of the time getting into the truck stop and they're just jammed to the hill and you've got a lot of creative spot guys. But, you know, when you're like less than 6 months like myself, you don't really want to be backing in too much when you're fatigued from like a 9 to 10 hour driving day, you know, 500-600 miles, whatever you can crank out in a day, depending where you're at. But I always try to call the wife. At the moment, today I called the wife when she's going to bed and I'm getting up for work. And then I'll be calling her in the morning when she's getting up and I'm wrapping my day up. But just for example, like my day, technically right now I'm in Santa Clarita, just north of Los Angeles. Pretty much generally the Los Angeles greater area, which is pretty massive, not so great, but it's big. And it is currently 2:10 in the morning. So get a load of this. So I left, where was I? Somewhere in Arizona, in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. And I drove and stopped in Coachella. So I got up at 4:30 in the morning. Sorry, 3:30 in the morning. This is technically yesterday. Monday, and I drove the best part of, I had a bit of a problem with my clock because I was running on what they call recaps. For anyone that doesn't know there, if your 70-hour clock is getting low, you kind of gain hours back, but I won't bore you with that. I'm already boring you guys enough. I'm going to probably chew up the 15 minutes probably, but here we go. So anyway, I stopped in Coachella, where everybody goes to party. Before the pandemic, certainly not a party for me. It was a terrible rest stop, rotten restrooms, terrible drivers for a big orange company. They really couldn't park properly. That's a whole nother deal. And then I had to hit the road, so I pounded it out from Coachella tonight. So I'm sorry. Yeah, I drove from 4:30 in the morning from Arizona, got to Coachella in the afternoon. I think it was about noon. And then I had to take my 10-hour break. It's kind of hard to sleep, you know, when you're kind of the night before you slept in at night, waking up at 3 o'clock, and then you've got to try and crank out a 10-hour break and try and get to sleep in 95-degree heat. You know, and then I'm grinding the road now, you know, I got up at 10 p.m. after about 3.5 hours sleep, which is terrible, really, when you think about it. And then, you know, I'm pounding it now to get to Atwood, California, which is about 280 miles north of Los Angeles. I've got 247 miles to go. Probably take me about 4.5 hours. No traffic. I'll get there an hour and a half early. It'll probably be about 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then I'll probably get another load then and probably get rushed to a place within, you know, 10 miles where I'll then have to tarp up a load and then try and get to a truck stop while my clock is running low. It is I had no idea. It's probably a good thing when I went into this job that I didn't realize how mentally fatiguing, if that's even a word, fatiguing, and also doing flatbed, it's pretty physical as well. But when you put a combination of both, it's taken me about 4 months to get my chops up to be able to, you know, get an eight-hour day feeling okay, you know, grinding out 500 miles because I'm governed at 65. So, yeah, but then when you're doing the night shift and the day shift and you're squeezing, you suddenly you don't look at a day as a day and a night. You start looking at it in blocks of time, not even dates. You know, Sunday is no different from a Friday. A Friday is no different from a Monday. You know, now 2 o'clock in the morning is no different from a 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just blocks of time. So, yeah, so there you go. So it's no jokes, but I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time still. I'm wide awake. I've got my coffee now. Going to hit that road, get out of this way station, get this freight to where it's got to get to, and keep this country rolling, you know. Keep it moving, baby. Keep the podcast coming. I'll be enjoying them on the road. See you later, guys. I'll let you know when I'm in Philly. Later. Oh, and when I called, my call dropped out, I didn't even know. Can't even remember what I was talking about. Sitting there waffling away. Just like now. Appreciate the content. We'll see you down the road. Toot toot.
That guy is great.
You know, we gotta make his toot toot a sound drop.
Yes, we do.
Toot toot.
Toot toot.
Yes, he is awesome. I love when Mike calls. It's great. Yeah. It's great to hear from him.
Yeah, and I mean, he's obviously talking about things that have been, you know, kind of reoccurring on the podcast to begin with being fatigued and, you know, especially as a new driver, understanding just how it feels to be on the road and mentally drained. I mean, it's a different feeling than most things. So yeah,
people think that driving is easy. Try to get in your car and drive for 5 hours and then see how you feel at the end of those 5 hours. Get out of your car after 5 hours of driving. And tell me how you feel. Tell me if you feel refreshed and ready to go. Get back in your car and drive another 5 hours.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Mike is talking about. That fatigue that you feel. It's a mental stress.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things. Like, when I drove to Minnesota. So I mean, we drove out there when you took me out there. Right. That was 19 hours, right? Or maybe 20 hours. Yeah,
about 20 hours. Yeah,
that was insane because we didn't stop for anything except for to go to the bathroom and coffee.
Coffee and gas, fuel.
And I did that what, like 3 or 4 other times with friends now, and it's just like I can't imagine. So in the even just driving the 3 or 4 hours across PA, actually I guess it's like 4 or 5. But even just driving that short distance, you know, from comparatively to the whole country, I mean, some guys are driving, you know, the whole way across, you know, all from California to you know, what, Florida or PA
or New York or New York, Jersey or New England.
It's just insane to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the fatigue you get from that, I can totally, you know, Tony, what do you think? What kind of fatigue have you experienced in your, you know, driving repertoire?
A lot of fatigue because I actually worked.
Yeah, that's true. you had the offloading, unloading, everything. Yeah.
Wait. I don't know. I remember somebody telling me about how he ordered DoorDash and he had a customer. So yeah, I'm not really buying all the. Oh, I'm so tired. You know, I had to have DoorDash bring my food
more than once.
I listen. It's rewarding yourself after a long, hard day. Okay. All right. So I'm out there busting my butt, doing these deliveries, you know, grinding, pulling heavy stuff to back of trailers, you know, arguing with guys who are supposed to be unloading my truck and they're saying they don't want to drive on my, all the hard work I do.
You do.
Deserves DoorDash at the end of the day delivered to my truck.
Sounds like an ad, but it's not. he just loves himself some DoorDash.
Oh, he does. Man. Yeah, so- I do love DoorDash. And it gets a little pricey because their delivery fees are kind of crazy, but the convenience factor, I mean, I'd be at a stop waiting, you know, to get in the door for a couple hours, and I just say, you know, on the app, is put the address, and then the notes I would put to deliver to the back of the building to the big red Pitt, Ohio truck. And they would drive right up to my door and they'd hand me my food with a smile, you know, and then they'd be on their way. If they didn't get a smile, they didn't get a 5-star rating and review on their DoorDash, you know, profile.
Did they get a tip?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Listen, being raised with you, I tip well.
Amen, brother.
You know, like we would be poor in a restaurant going out to eat. You know, dad's like, how are we going to pay rent this week? I don't know, but we're going to tip $20, but the bill's only 10. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Dad always tips high and takes care of people.
What you're saying?
It's not tipping I believe in. It's over tipping.
Yeah.
And you can thank My Blue Heaven.
Yep.
With Steve Martin.
Every time.
Not tipping.
And we would just joke with you about it too at times, because it was just like you would tip like a ridiculous amount and then you'd say it's not tipping, I believe. It's over tipping. Yep. And we'd be like, what? Yep. Oh my gosh.
My Blue Heaven. Steve Martin and Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hilarious movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to just let people know that are listening right now as I speak, I am live on Instagram for Hammer Lane Legends, and people that are tuning in right now are watching live.
Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't even know that. We didn't know you were doing that.
So follow us on Instagram, because Instagram is where it's at. It's popping over there. Right, guys? No.
Amen, brother.
Okay. Yeah.
I was waiting. I thought you were going to hit a drop, and it's what I was just waiting.
Like, okay.
Well, I actually was thinking about a drop. I was like, oh, there's nothing that I can use for that. Yeah,
it's like when Tony sends me a text. He says, I'm going to put that on IG, and it's like, is that IG or OG? Which is which? In my head, I'm like, I don't know. Okay, whatever.
Wow. Oh man. All right. So. We're going to get to the next voicemail on this hotline, voicemail line. You know what it is. But another person, here we go.
Hey, Tony and Brian. It's Sam from episode 2. Hey, I got a story I think you guys are really going to like. I just listened to Tony's other podcast, and he had a Mormon missionary on who shared a little bit of some stories. One of them was about a early leader of the Mormon Church, David W. Patton, who was riding his mule and talked to a wild hairy man who claimed to be Cain, and who many people interpret that to be Sasquatch. Well, that reminded me of a story I've known my entire life, and it happened in a truck, so I hope you don't mind me sharing it here. This happened in a very remote farming community in Idaho. My dad knew the man it happened to, and my uncle is friends with the man, and they both heard it firsthand from him, so I believe it. I'm going to change the guy's name and call him Michael, but Michael was about 20 years old, and as a baby and small boy, everyone called him Mikey. As he got older, he grew out of that nickname, and it had been years since anyone had called him Mikey. Anyway, Michael was pretty wild in his teens and 20s, and his family would tell him that the devil was going to get him. But Michael always laughed and said that he wasn't scared of that. Like most young men in Idaho at the time, Michael worked on a farm. They just finished baling hay, and they were in the process of hauling the hay off the field. And these are big bales of hay, so you need a tractor to lift them onto the truck. And these fields are huge, you know, in some cases hundreds of acres big. And the bales would be scattered all over the field. So you'd park your truck pulling a flatbed trailer by a group of bales out in the field, and then you'd have to walk over to where you left the tractor on the last load. And you'd drive your tractor back to where you'd left your truck, load all the bales, then go unload the bales, come back, repeat the process until you've cleared the whole field off. Well, in the early morning darkness, this is miles from anywhere, Michael pulls into a hayfield in his truck, and he drives towards the next group of bales he's going to load. As he's driving, he looks over and he sees the tractor lights, which is, you know, couple hundred yards away, sees the tractor lights turn on and start driving towards him. And he's happy because he thinks one of the other farmhands is out there to help him load. And this means he won't have to walk to the tractor in the dark. The tractor drives towards him with all its lights on. And when a tractor has all its lights on, it's pretty bright and he can't see anything except the lights as it gets closer. The tractor gets closer and closer, driving directly at him until Michael has to stop because he's afraid of a collision. The tractor stops inches from the front of Michael's truck, completely blinding him with the bright lights. But Michael's still thinking it's a coworker, and he wonders what the hell this guy's doing. Through the glare of the bright lights, he can kind of see someone getting out of the tractor. And as the shape starts walking towards him, he can see that it's a huge, hairy man-shaped thing covered with hair. It's extremely tall and is wearing no clothes. Well, Michael panics. He shoves the transmission in reverse, pops the clutch, and hits the throttle, and he's backing away as fast as old truck can go. But the shape increases its stride and is gaining on the truck. And once about 10 feet away, it takes a giant leap and lands on the driver's side step of Michael's truck. Michael's beyond scared now. He thinks he's going to die. And the creature leans in through the open window, almost touching Michael's face with its own, and asks Michael in a deep, gravelly voice, "Are you afraid of me now, Mikey?" I've heard that story my whole life. It's kind of a story that everybody knows in my family, and the people who know this guy know that this happened to him. I've also heard of Sasquatches crawling into people's trucks at night during potato harvest when you're out harvesting potatoes in the dark. And I just wondered, Tony, if you've heard any other stories like this. I was hesitant to share this because it's so strange, but I wonder if you've heard anything like this. Maybe you could share this story on your other podcasts and see if anybody's heard anything similar. Keep up the great work, guys. Love what you do. Take care.
Jeez. Oh, man. Thanks. Wow. Thanks so much for calling in, Sam. It was really good to hear from you.
Yeah. Oh, my word, it was.
Wow. And that's incredible.
That is crazy. That is really crazy.
You know, I feel like I was talking to somebody recently. I don't know if this is an interview that's aired already or what. But I remember talking to somebody about, it was Jamal. I have a guy named Jamal who's done two episodes with me on the Confessionals, and there's a third one coming. But on the last one that we released, he talked about how they were out like ghost hunting and they came across a goat man, and it wound up, the way he told the story, I thought he said it jumped into the back of the pickup truck when they were inside. But it jumped behind the pickup truck. But no, when Sam's telling that story, I was like, yeah. If the mics were unmuted, you would hear me go, "What?" You know, that's scary. That's scary. It sounds like Sam says it thinks that was a Sasquatch. You know,
sound like.
But you know, when you're talking about these things talking like that now it's taking it to a level of not just a creature, but something other, and that's. Something that creeps me out for sure.
Most definitely.
But
creepy experiences while driving. That's never fun because it's just a different feel.
You know what we gotta do, Jack? Write down the last four digits of his phone number when you get a chance, and I want to pull that voicemail and play it on the Confessionals.
Sure.
Maybe I'll do it this coming week because people who are listening to this, if you're listening to the Confessionals as well on Tuesday this week, I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. I might just call it Megacast, but I realized I had like a good handful of people that I interviewed that have their own podcasts. And let me just put all the people who I've interviewed that have their own podcast on one show. So it's going to be like a I think it's gonna be like a 5.5 hour show.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. And so it's just gonna be rapid fire one after another. And so maybe I'll play that in between one of the interviews or something like that.
That would be really cool.
Cool.
That yeah. was really good to hear from Sam too.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, no, anyway. All right, let's get to the next one.
Next one.
Hey Tony, my name's Joe. And my father is actually the truck driver, and back when I was younger, like between 4 to 7 years old, his company used to let him take me and my little sister on the road with him. So he's a local truck driver out here in Connecticut, and he would go out to Long Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. So we'd wake up early with him, anywhere from 12 o'clock in the morning to 3 in the morning, and we'd be able to go on the road with him. It was awesome. I mean, exhausting for me as a young kid. But I remember when he first started driving, he had this old Mac with no air conditioner. It had this fan on the dashboard. It had crank windows and no power steering. And my dad built this wooden box to store things in, and he kept it between the two seats. He put carpet on it, and he would like lay across the box to take naps on the road. Well, this one time we were going to somewhere in downtown New York City, Queens or somewhere like that, and I was all day trying to pop this passenger side door open on his truck all day long. And I'd have to hop over the box in the middle and go out the driver's side door. And the next stop would come, and I'd try to pop open the door, and I'd end up having to jump over the box and go out the driver's side door. So now we're driving. I think we come to this big, you know, intersection, but it's really tight. Cars across the way, cars, you know, on the right side of us, on the left side of us, cars everywhere. And he goes to turn left, big, you know, big left-hand turn. And I'm hanging on the door, and it's really hot out.
Oh, all right. Well, that's okay. We lost someone last time too. Yeah. So
you got there. You go. Yeah. No. He might look at the phone numbers that called Jack. He might have called back a second.
Oh,
time.
He did. Yeah. Hey, good catch.
Sometimes it cuts out, and then they call right back and stuff. So
good catch. We'll get right into that right now.
Sounds good.
Hey Tony, this is Joe from Connecticut. I'm just finishing up my story. So me and my dad were on the highway. I'm in the passenger seat. A plow comes on the on-ramp. You know, he jumps from the far right lane all the way over to the left lane and drops his plow down with the plow facing the middle lane. And he starts shooting this slush ice stuff and just starts shooting it straight into the windshield. I mean, all I know from my point of view was that there was a car in the middle lane in front of us, and I could see the windshield wipers on my dad's truck were just like almost stopping. That's how thick this stuff was. My dad, he's laying on the air horn heavily. Like, I mean, just for like, it had to be 2 minutes straight. I'm not sure if he ended up stopping, like pulling over, and we like had like 2 inches or 3 inches of ice and slush caked on the windshield because it stopped the windshield wipers. But, you know, from what he told me, he's like, I didn't know if the car in front of me was getting pelted with the same stuff and slammed on their brakes. Because if that would have happened, he would have ran right over top of him. And yeah, it was really scary because I'm in the passenger seat just watching this all unfold, and there was nothing we could do. It was like helpless. But yeah, so thanks. Those are a couple little things that I've experienced with my dad when he was driving. I'm sure he's got plenty of stories. Thanks, Tony. Love the show. It's really cool that you're doing this with your dad. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really cool that I'm doing with my dad. I was thinking about kicking dad off the show, though. Just kidding. Oh, so you're saying you want to go? You want to go?
I love this show. I love this
family
show.
Therapy time. Yeah,
you know what, Joe? That was an awesome story. I tell you what, you see that kind of stuff a lot. You know, people don't realize the pressures that you're under when you're driving, you know, for a living, and you're on the road all the time. You see stuff like that happen. You know, you lose, you know, in a snowstorm like that, and something that plows coming at you, you can lose the person in front of you and not see them anymore.
Real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary, scary situation. So I can really appreciate that. And Joe, you know, if your dad would love, we'd love to have your dad on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure your dad has some really great stories. We'd love to hear them from your dad and, you know, talking to us on the phone in person. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if your windshield wipers are caked down like that, it's just not a quick fix. Nope. I mean, how do you got to look as much as you can in your mirrors and try and get over, right? I mean,
you bet.
What else do you do?
Yep.
We were just talking about this outside with Alex, weren't we?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were talking. Way to save it for the show there, pro.
We didn't know. No, but I mean, it just like these new trucks, because congratulations, Dad. Dad got a new truck. Yay.
Oh, good for you.
Got the right one this time.
It took me a second. I was like, okay, that's the right one.
He's loading up his finger, trying to figure it out.
There's a weird pause. Everybody's watching. Everybody's starting to sweat. Is he going to hit the right one?
Oh, man.
But I mean, we were outside talking to Alex about how with Dad's new truck, these newer Macs that are coming out. One thing, and it's not just the new Mac, but a lot of these trucks that they've come out with, you know, we're talking about a big windshield, you know, from these trucks.
They're not separated anymore. There's no break in the middle.
Yeah. And the dashboard, the frost, it just doesn't kick the way it should. And when you're out there in a snowstorm and stuff, your windshield gets caked up, and you get all of a sudden, because you have the snow on the sides of the windshield and in the middle where the windshield wipers aren't hitting, you have a lot more blind spots in front of you that you're not accustomed to. Plus, you know, a whiteout snowstorm and everything else you're dealing with. Yep. I just wish that, I don't know how old, you know, brands are and stuff, but with like these Macs that are coming out, the newer ones, they need to make the windshield wipers longer so they reach more the windshield. Mm-hmm. And they need to, you had a good idea. I didn't even think about that.
The defroster at the top of the windshield and the bottom of the windshield.
So it kind
of
shoots from the top and the bottom. Really, really just make sure that windshield is not, you know, icing over. Yeah. Because once the buildup starts happening like that, especially on the sides, the windshield wipers get the snow and ice on them, and all of a sudden they're not working. Yep.
And they're just dragging it across. Yeah, and now they're just dragging the snow
across. It's just smearing, and you're like, okay, now I got to try to find a spot to pull over where I can pull out again and not get stuck just to clean my windshield. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's crazy to me to think that when you have that big of a surface area, you wouldn't think to put a double defroster on.
Right.
That just, I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
I
thought they did that already.
Nope.
So nope, I guess
only at the bottom, just like in your car.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's even just like a bus too, right? I mean, it's just the car, like the car. So that's crazy. So
what I would always do is like crank up the heat as high as it will go, blast it as hard as it will, it will go, and then it gets really hot in the cab. So then I crack the windows, and that's my temperature control where I have cold air coming in. Yeah. But
there are times you just roll the window all the way down, and you're like, I am dying in here.
Well, I mean, you have to do what you have to do order to make sure you can see because I can imagine it's nerve-wracking enough to drive in the snow, but then on top of that, not being able to see.
And then you got sleet smacking you in the face from the windshield being open.
Exactly. Owie! That would be funny.
It's not funny.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm just thinking of what it would be seeing you two.
You're thinking of the cartoon version of that.
Sounds like a Family Guy little skit going on here.
Oh, man. All right, so let's get to the next one here. We still have like
a lot.
I think we still have like 10 or more. So let's get to this one here.
Buckle in and enjoy the ride.
Hey, Brian and Tony, this is the Body Snatcher here. I heard you guys mention the Snatcher on your last transmission, so here goes. The year was 1988. It found me working at U.S. Steel and going to graphic design school at night. My first job was working on a re-rail crew. A re-rail crew consists of three men and a truck. The truck was equipped with everything you need to re-rail buggy, sub, or a locomotive. The truck was also equipped with a high rail system so that you could travel on the railroad tracks. Steel producing had a dozen locomotives running all three shifts. The trains were used to transport molten steel and these massive glowing red ingots. If the train went to ground, we were called to put it back on the track. We couldn't let the steel get below a certain temperature because that batch might be ruined. As the third man, I was forced to ride bitch, meaning I had to sit in the middle. After I had been there for a while, I finally got a window seat. When we were in traffic, I would crouch down out of sight, giving the impression that the other two men were in love and out of the closet, as you can imagine. If there was nothing going on, they would drop me off somewhere with a radio. They would call me on the walkie if my assistance was needed. I would use that time to do homework or rap with the old guys over steaming cups of coffee. My favorite men to talk to were ex-veterans, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. This particular old man was very grumpy. The grumpier, the better, I say. If you can make an old fart laugh, then your material is fire. I was pretty proud of myself. One time I got the old boy to smile. It turned out he just had gas. At this point, Mr. Krabby had been there for 55 years. He was drafted into World War II, but because of a heart murmur, he wasn't able to go. Lucky break. Maybe not so much. With all the boys shipped overseas to fight, there were very few men left.
All right. Well, I actually think he did get cut off completely because he's not on here again. So.
Oh, well.
Oh, we'll have to have the body snatcher call.
Come on, body snatcher.
Man.
What a letdown. It's an interesting story.
That was an interesting story. I'm like, where's this going?
And he's a fantastic storyteller.
And you know what? You know what's funny is, you know, anybody who has been, you know, the youngest child in a family has ridden bitch often.
Apparently, that's what it's called. I had no idea. But you know, being the youngest in my family, yeah, I rode that way a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I guess
never heard it that put that way, but that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes. I feel you. Yeah, right. All right, well, let's go on to the next one here. We still got a ways to go.
Hi, Tony. My name is Jennifer, and I am not the truck driver, but my hubby is. And I just listened to the episode with the deep underground bases, military bases. And first, I wanted to say that my husband is a new truck driver. He left his old job and became when he went through Warner. And it was a horrible experience. And he actually had to come home after taking classes for it's either 10 or 12 hours. And then he would come home and watch YouTube channel videos to teach himself the stuff that was going to be on the test. The driver, trainer would fall asleep in the truck. Anyway, so it was a really awful experience, but he's still doing it. But what he went through with Warner was very sad. Anyway, so my one experience that I thought about, so he hauls lumber and we had a run. And so I go with him at least once a week. So that's how I was in the truck. But anyway, so go to a base in Oklahoma and he's never delivered there before. And so we go to the entrance input and GPS and we get there and the driver or the gate guard is like, what are you doing? And so we found we were at the wrong entrance and the guard takes his driver's license and then says, just go down and turn around. Well, you know, you can't just cut a U. And as we're looking at all the places that we're passing, we'd say, he could have turned around there. So eventually he gets turned around, but then we got lost on the base. So we think he's taken the right turns, and at some point took a wrong turn, and we exit the wrong exit. So then we had to drive back around to the proper entrance, And there was actually, I guess, an MP. Somebody was waiting for us. And he explained what happened. They were not happy, but they luckily, like, we didn't have anything else happen. We just had to turn around. And by that point, we knew where some good turnarounds were. But it was very, very nerve-wracking. I was scared to death. Luckily, everything turned out okay. And I don't know if it matters. He's an owner-operator. I have a couple more stories I might call in on. I wish I was a great storyteller so that I could make this into something. So, you know, oh, wow, that's crazy. But it was absolutely terrifying knowing that you're lost in a military base. And at any point, they could probably put you in some sort of military jail. At least in my head, that's how it worked. That's it. Thanks for your show. Bye.
Jeez. Yeah. I tell you, it can be definitely nerve-wracking military bases.
Anytime you're doing anything with government,
yeah,
whether you're pulling into a prison to make deliveries, scary.
Yes,
you're pulling into an army base or any kind of military base. It's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
because nobody tells you anything. They tell you what you need to know, and you don't need to know.
Yeah,
you know, that's the military attitude.
It kind of reminds me of what she was describing, that feeling I used to get when I used to deliver to the nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first started doing deliveries there, the way you had to do deliveries was the delivery for them could be the only thing on your trailer. So you either had to get all your deliveries done, then go there, or you just left with only a delivery for them, and it would take forever. So you pull up underneath this overhang and you get out of the truck, you give them your information. They had a dog, they had mirrors, they were searching your truck.
Same way delivering to a prison.
It would take like 30 minutes,
yep.
And then you were cleared to go down and stuff. And the first time I went in there and stuff, I was nervous. It was like, because everybody's walking around with guns around your truck and stuff. I'm just like, man, like it must be serious around here. And now when you go in there, it's totally changed. Now all you do is you drive on to the property. You don't stop anywhere. You just go right back to the dock. You back right into the dock. You get out of your truck. You walk inside. And then there's a guy with an AK. AR, not AK. I think myself.
What country you delivering to?
That's why it took so long.
How is Mother Russia?
Yeah. I was hanging out with Putin. top secret stuff, guys.
Apparently.
All right. I shouldn't even be talking about this. But,
we're all in trouble now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe.
Come on, man.
But now you can walk right in, and there's a guy standing there, and he just opens it up, he unlocks it, opens it up, walks on. He just looks at your skid and then he walks off, you unload it. It's like, so if I was malicious, how would you know? Who knows?
I'm not making comment.
You don't do deliveries, Dad. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Hey, man.
That's no freight.
So jeez. if you cut a U, what do you have left? A J. Dad joke on Father's Day.
Wow. How long did it take him to come up with that? A whole call? Thank you, Jennifer, for your phone call. We'd love to hear more from you.
Yeah, you don't deserve the drum roll. You do not deserve it. Don't you
too?
You get the wah, wah, wah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that didn't even deserve it.
Jennifer, we'd love to hear back from you.
Yeah,
her
husband. Yeah. They should come on together and have fun hanging out with us.
Like Loads awesome. Of Love, right? Long ago.
Yeah, Tara and Cody.
Yeah,
that's bang. How long. That was like episode 8 or something.
You
like
did.
That.
I couldn't. I'm trying to think. What was their name?
Tara and Cody.
Bang.
Yeah. I have a hard time remembering my name.
You get it wrong.
I interviewed Tara for the Confessionals back in the day. And so when they contacted for this show, I was familiar with them. Cool. And I knew they were truck drivers and stuff. So, yeah.
That was great hearing. That would be cool to hear from Jennifer and her husband. That would be cool. That would be a neat call.
Yeah.
Actually, have them on the show.
So let's get on to the next one here. This is going to be a two-parter here. So we got a long, I think this is 15 minutes.
Is it like 800 some seconds each?
Yep. Yeah. So this is going to be a two-parter here. Same caller.
So whoever this is, again, we said it last week, we'll say it again this week. don't ever call the voicemail line again.
Contact.
Just, listen, you literally put an entire episode on the voicemail line.
It's awesome.
You talked for 30 minutes straight. It's all, that's you half called, a show.
You talked long enough that you had to call back.
Yeah, we shoot to have at least a 50-minute conversation with people, right? So that after there. You do all the fluffing of intro and everything, it's an hour-long show. And this person calls in, gives us 30 minutes of them talking.
Which is awesome.
So all we would have to do is another 20 minutes of filling of talk and have a conversation.
I'm sure we're going
to
drag that out.
We could have gone for an hour and a half, 2 hours with this person. Don't ever call again.
But thanks for your call. So let's get on.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Brian. This is Trevor. I spoke to Lindsay, and I'm supposed to actually be on your show in June. And I just wanted to call you guys and give you guys kind of a taste on the type of stories that I'm going to tell. I'll pick the best ones I can think of, that there'll be more. So, about 10 years ago.
Hold on. So it was Trevor, right?
Trapper.
I thought it was Trevor.
Yeah, I think it's Trevor.
All right, Trevor. So
I don't have good ears, so you do the math.
He did say he's going to save the best for the show, right? That's what he just said.
Yeah,
before.
He's going to give us a feel for what he's.
Oh, he's giving us a feel.
Yeah, for what a 30 what minute feel. Will be like.
Trevor,
you know, I'm tempted to skip this and just move on to the next one because he's going to be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, we can just listen.
You can
to
have
him
on twice. You can just have him on twice.
Maybe he
let him share these stories on live with you guys.
I hope he does. I mean, he unloaded a 30-minute chamber.
I know.
And so I just get back I hope he's
it.
Not.
Let's get back into
just
it.
Just let him play it.
Let's play it out.
All right.
All right. Jack's running the show today.
Jack is running the show.
I'm literally sitting in the corner of the room on a comfy chair. I'm not even sitting at the desk. So Jack's running the ship. So Jack, run the ship.
Okay.
I was about 22, 23, 24, something like that. This animal exhibit that had tigers and a lion, and they had some leopards and stuff. They had come through my town in Illinois, and you could get your picture taken feeding a baby tiger. And they had a sign up that said, traveling help wanted, please inquire. So I've always wanted to work with tigers and lions and stuff like that. I think they're beautiful, majestic creatures. And so I asked them what they meant by that. And they said, you have to volunteer. But it was a paid volunteer. It's just a way to make money, I guess. But you pay $20 and then you volunteer every day while you're there. Because I guess with $20, they give you shirts to wear so that they know that you work there. So people know that you
Hold on.
This is like we have Joe Exotic over here.
Oh my God.
So hold on a second. You pay to work.
Where's all the protesters at?
$20. You pay $20.
You pay $20 for a shirt to identify that you're working there.
You get the shirt to make sure they know that you work there. And to keep it.
And you volunteer your time.
Full time. I mean, but hey.
Oh, that's great.
It takes somebody who really wants to do it like him, though, right? So,
Oh my gosh.
There's a horse farm not far from here that does volunteers and stuff.
It sounds like a bunch of horse stuff.
But like they don't make you pay to work. Hold on a second. Listen, I think
this is the best volunteer. Whoever runs this volunteer operation is the biggest brain ever. They're the smartest person. It's like, how do I get people to come in and work for me
for free?
I'm gonna make them pay me
to work here.
Listen, I want to be the guy who pitches that to the board and they're like, that's not gonna work. Trust me, it's gonna work.
It's golden.
Listen, we don't
give them a shirt.
Give them a shirt, but we'll make them pay for it.
It's the smartest operation ever. That CEO is like, they got a future. They have a future.
Listen, listen, brother, if this is what the story is going to be, just save it for the show. Listen, I don't even want to go into this because he has a really long voicemail. And I want him to tell this story when he's talking to
live.
Us.
Yeah. I want to hear this live. Just,
I want you to talk. Listen, I appreciate you calling the voicemail line and really committing 30 minutes of your time for free, which you made out like a bandit with us.
We didn't charge you $20.
We didn't charge you $20 to talk to us on the phone line. Oh, I'm sorry. That's so funny. I've never heard of.
Sounds like my first driving job, you know?
Oh, man.
Oh, my word.
Here's the truck. This is your truck. You can be driving every day, but you got to pay for the fuel in it.
Oh, man.
But we'll give you a shirt.
Here's your shirt. Bring your debit card.
Oh, no,
brother, I want to hear this. I want to hear the story on the show.
Yes, so. Most definitely. We'll save it. That's definitely save it.
So, Jack, just move to the next person because we're going to save him for the show. He got me laughing, though.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard of a volunteer place where you volunteer your time to work for free, but you have to pay the money to work?
You gotta pay up
front? They're like, well, no, you're just paying for the shirt, which you need to pay for to get so we can identify you're a worker. Can I just get a white t-shirt and write in Sharpie on it?
Volunteer.
Volunteer worker. All right, I'm done.
Man. That was good.
That was hilarious.
Okay, so let's move on. Yeah.
Tony, Brian, what's up, you guys? This is Jerry Plemons from Johnson City, Tennessee. I've been listening to you guys ever since the beginning of this show and several years back on the professionals. Anyway, I want to give you guys a heads up, something you might want to look into. Your wife, Lindsay, you know, handles the merch and stuff. I've been doing graphic design and printing for a while on the side, and I've started going through Printify and Printful, similar to Teespring. If you create an Etsy page, you can do an Etsy pattern page, which you can do like a regular .com address, and it forwards it to the Etsy store, but it doesn't look like an Etsy store. It's an actual storefront. So when someone goes and places an order for a t-shirt, it's just like Teespring. Printify or Printful will print the t-shirt, do embroidery on hat, and handle all the packaging and the shipping to your customer, so you don't have to touch anything. You just set your profit margin on it, and they do the rest of it. So check those two out. Love to show you guys. I'm on the road quite a bit, and if I have any crazy stories come up here, I will call you guys back and let you know. I work on industrial solar inverters on these solar farms, and I cover Minnesota to Mississippi. So I'm sure I'll see some crazy stuff the road. All right, brothers. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a good tip. That's a good tip.
It sounded a good tip.
Sounded complicated. I was like, he started talking about, you know, you make this to make this, and it goes to there and
play that for Lindsay.
But it looks great. Yeah, it's above my head.
It's all the ins and outs of
I'm technically illiterate.
What it's like to do the t-shirt business, right?
Yeah, but it's nice to know that you have listeners that know how to do that stuff and can help.
I guess technologically illiterate.
I'm not technically illiterate. I would hope not. That explains why you're missing a lot of signs.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
What's going on?
Now my childhood makes sense.
IGOG. Now it's starting to all come together, isn't it?
Oh,
geez. He's technically illiterate. Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
Now I know why I did so bad in school.
Sure. All family, my friend. Yeah,
sure. Here, son, this is how you read and write.
I will say sometimes I'm dyslexic. Like, I'll write numbers down backwards, which is not good when you're picking up trailers.
I am too. And that's why I literally... I have two books I'm giving to Jack today because when I read it backwards and I thought I was getting something totally different than what I actually got.
You're not supposed to start in the back and work your way front.
I thought thought I was getting a study Bible, but it was a Bible study.
the weird part is I read it the exact same way when he sent me the picture. I was just like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, so I guess it runs in the family.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Ridiculous. I feel better now. Yeah. I'm not alone in the world.
Oh, man.
All right, well, we got...
Only the best over here. Oh, only the best.
You got that right.
Yeah. Well, we got some more voicemails
Trevor,
here.
His name is Trevor, the guy before, right? Trevor?
Yeah.
Trevor. See, Trevor, we don't just bust your balls. We bust each other's balls, too. I kind of felt bad when we laughed and stuff, but it's funny. I've never heard of somebody having to volunteer their time plus their money just to work for somebody else.
You guys know the easiest question not to ask him is why. What made you want to do it so bad?
Tiger King, right, Alex?
Exactly.
But that's a good one. So
yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So we got some more here. Let's get to the next voicemail now.
Hey, good morning, Tony. This is James. I've got a few stories that you may be interested in hearing. I've got, maybe two or three paranormal ones that have to do with ghosts and shadow figures and things like that that I've experienced in the past. And then actually I have one that you would probably find more interesting. It was when I was in college, actually. I was hauling cement. I worked as a ready-mix driver in the after hours and whatnot. And we were doing a bridge in Western Illinois, And I saw lights that I could not for the life of me explain. I've got some hours on my pilot license, so I've flown before. I know all the indicating lights and the things that should be on a regular plane or helicopter. And it was the weirdest thing in the world because there was five lights in a V pattern that were probably 600 feet up in the air, just moving across the road slowly, not across the road, but across a field heading towards my direction. And I cannot still to this day explain the light pattern that I saw. The really weird thing was I saw it and called it out on the radio. There was probably, 10 or 15 other cement trucks running back and forth over 15, 20 miles maybe from the plant location to the construction site. And I called it out over the radio and I could not. No one else knew what it was, but everyone else could see it and raised a whole bunch of questions. I thought that was kind of weird. Didn't really think too much of it, just that I can't explain what I'm seeing. And then about 15 or 20 minutes later, all of a sudden in the sky, there was, I think you'd call them F-18 Super Hornets. And there was two separate pairs of them that were screaming across the sky. And I watch these jets do these maneuvers and, chase after whatever they were. I don't know, but it was one of the weirder things I've ever seen. But if you wouldn't mind giving me a call, I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about this stuff with you. Give me a call.
We're not going to do that. We're not going to put his name and number on the air. Unless you want a bunch of people spamming you and all of a sudden you get people calling you saying, we want to renew your vehicle.
Warranty.
Warranty right now. Every time they call, I answer and I play games with them.
That is totally you. Yeah.
I have a tractor. Can we help insure that? You know, the one time I answered as Barack Obama. Hello, this is Barack Obama. How'd you get this number? You know, and just have some fun with it.
Sound more like the
I, hey, listen, the it's not perfect.
From
Pink it's not
Panther.
Perfect.
Hello, hey, Pink Panther.
Well, you gotta give it a little bit of a lift because that's how he talks. You know,
that's exactly how he sounds. I'm just telling you. You gotta sit down and watch the Pink Panther and watch the Anteater. I'm sorry. That's exactly what you sound like.
I would probably never do that.
You should. It's hilarious.
Yeah. But where can I find it?
Just YouTube.
YouTube.
It.
What? You can't YouTube stuff?
Yeah. Everything is YouTube, Tony.
Is it in color
now.
Or black and white or
Oh, I mean, I'm surprised there's sound to it. If it's something he's referencing,
do I need to wind something up to watch it? Now you guys catching my drift.
Oh, the things I deal with. Oh my god! What's the next call?
How dare you?
Oh man! So we actually have three from the same caller. Two actually seem like they're probably from the same story.
How about if you just play them?
I'm giving you a rundown, homie.
We don't need a rundown, Jack. You're ruining the show. People just want to hear it. So hit play.
Producer.
Now I don't want to hit
play. Come on, producer Jack, just do it.
Yes. My name is... I was traveling east on I-20 in South Carolina. I had just passed over I-26. And coming down what would have been an exit ramp for me was a car attempting to enter the highway going in the wrong direction. I started waving my arms. Of course, it was 3:30 in the morning. I mean, this guy couldn't see me waving my arms, but I'm hollering, no, 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 and I'm flashing my light. And as soon as I passed that exit, within 1 second, he hit the freeway. And right around the curve, he hit a tractor trailer head on. It was a suicide. The driver of the car was ejected and, of course, died. The driver of the tractor trailer, I heard, lived. When I came back to that same store the next week making the same delivery, I mentioned to the guys about that accident, and they're like, yes, it was a suicide. And so anyway, that was one incident. Within 1 week, I was over near Florence, Alabama, and a car, again, going in the wrong direction, coming right at me, again, you know, in wee hours of the morning. This person was a girl. I suspect she was drunk. Somehow she missed me. Mainly because I swerved. I can't believe the rear end of the trailer didn't smack her, but she managed to get by me without hitting me. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I've been driving many years, and this is twice in 1 week that I've encountered wrong-way drivers. And I was convinced that God was trying to tell me something, and I needed to get out of the business. Well, I didn't. I'm still driving. And luckily, I've not encountered anything else like that. Have a good day, fellas. Bye-bye.
Woo. Yeah. Right. It's not the first time we heard that story, right,
no,
Dad?
No, you got that right. Yeah. That is crazy. That is so crazy.
After we got done recording with her, she told us that story. And we're like, you should call the voicemail line and leave it on the voicemail. Right?
Right. But yeah, you shouldn't use her name because we didn't use her name on the show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mark the tape, Jack. Just generalize the number, the time that's on here now. Just mark it.
And you're welcome.
We'll take it out. We'll take it out. But yeah, but no, that's a good catch. Good catch.
It is crazy, though. I mean, that's a crazy thing to see. You know, one time I got a message on the computer that there was a tractor trailer driving the wrong way on Route 80.
A tractor trailer?
A tractor trailer. Wow. Some guy got on Route 80 in the middle of the night driving the wrong direction in a truck. I was like, holy crap, how the heck did you make that mistake?
Yeah, that's scary too.
Oh my like, word, yeah.
All of a sudden you're driving a trailer, and all of a sudden it's like it goes from the idea, if a car came at me, I'd probably survive, to
yeah,
a tractor trailer coming at me.
Neither one of us is surviving this. This is
yeah,
ugly.
Yeah, nobody's coming out of that one.
This
unscathed.
Is bad.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's
but
scary.
I'm glad she stayed in the business. We need good drivers like that. She's aware. Yeah. She's awake. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she's a cool lady.
Very cool.
And we
very
actually cool. got another one from her, I think. Go for right it. Now. Here we go.
Yes. Again, this is. I just wanted to put this out there, especially for new drivers that aren't suave to the ways of criminals and whatnot, much like I was back in the day. I was parked at a truck stop, and I was in the last space, literally at the end. And a tractor trailer pulled next to me and parked. Now, that would have had him parking to my right and across a gore. It wasn't a true parking space. It was just yellow lines. Now, I was sitting in the front seat, and this cat got out of his truck, walked around the front end of my truck, came up and knocked on my door. I rolled the window down, and he let me know that he was going to park there for the night, as if I could have cared. I didn't realize what he was doing was testing me to see if I had a dog in my truck. He knocked purposely. He wanted to know if there was a dog in that truck, because during the night, while my APU was rattling away, he's siphoning fuel out of that side of the truck. So for anybody that doesn't know these things, just be wary of your surroundings, truthfully. There's criminals out there, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and he had an agenda that night by parking where he did, the fact that it was not a parking space. But he made one, and he stole, I don't know, about 50 gallons of fuel. I had just fueled up, and that's how I knew the next morning, oh my, there's a lot of fuel missing. And of course, the gas cap was off and what have you. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Thanks so much, fellas.
That's the worst, because I thought she was going to go a different route with that story, to be honest with you.
Especially when you said about not having a dog. I'm like, no, I was thinking,
I wonder if she got a dog. Did she say that she got a dog?
She didn't say she got one.
No, she didn't say,
Oh, man. I tell you, that reminded me of a story that I was told when I was first training how to drive. My trainer, Phil, told me that back in the day, I guess the union versus non-union driver was a real war.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Yes. And he said that you would have to, when you came out of a place from doing delivery or something, you'd check to make sure that your pin wasn't pulled on your fifth wheel.
You check all your tires.
Holy cow.
Yep. You check your pin.
Because
always.
They would pull the pin wheels or the fifth wheel pin. Yeah. That way, you know, you would pull off underneath your trailer and it would drop, you know, just because you weren't union.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was rough.
Wait, like different companies, different.
Union care. Say I'm a union guy and I know you're driving for this company and it's not union. Well, I don't like you. And so I'm going to pull your pin and you better check it. Do your pre-trip because if you don't.
Always check.
I guess that's why you do pre-trips.
Yeah. But you know, it's a smart thing to do anytime you're pulled into a truck stop or anything like that. I do. It's a habit.
Yeah.
I look underneath, make sure that handle is still in. I just don't, if I walk away from the truck, go use a restroom or something like that, come back out, check the fifth wheel pin.
Dang.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to play games.
Well, nobody messes with me because when I get out of the truck, I always had a gun on the side of my hip. You know, everybody knew.
Sure. Tony is a Walker Texas Ranger over there.
Every time I get out of my truck, I've got my flashlight on my hip. Don't you worry about it.
I'll blind you.
You're like a cop in the UK or something.
Yeah, buddy. I've got all the defense in the world.
I don't know.
You're feeling lucky? I'll strobe you.
How are you feeling lucky, son?
Oh, man.
Hey, Alex, how you doing over there?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right. He's like, is this show over yet?
Alex is like, you know, when I started dating Tanya, she told me this family was crazy. But nothing can prepare you for experiencing the crazy firsthand.
But you know,
I love it.
That's awesome. You know what? What a way to suck
you
out.
Just
you
won.
You just won.
Happy Father's Day. I love it.
Alex just won.
He did.
Good job, Alex.
It's good that she reminds people to keep an eye on.
Ben has shown up.
Come here, buddy.
He has joined the males.
Come here. How you doing? Hey, can you close the door real quick?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
He is such a nice boy.
Well, if you can tell, we're joined now by Ben.
Hey, Benny. Hey, I like your haircut.
Really?
Pull harder. There you go. Come here. You want to sit with me?
Yes.
Okay.
Did Aunt Tanya cut your noggin?
Yes.
That looks awesome, dude. Good job.
Say thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you going to say hi? Right.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
That's better.
There you go.
Nice.
Put your tongue between your teeth.
Thank Thank you.
That's better.
Good job.
He wet the microphone and everything.
Yeah, just lick the microphone.
Yes, he did. How are you doing there, Ben? How are you doing? You doing okay?
Yes.
Good.
How's your broken arm?
It's not better.
No?
No.
What happened to your arm?
One day, Daddy and me were trying to launch me on the couch. Daddy heard the crack. I thought it was my head, but it was just my wrist.
Yeah? Did you break your wrist?
Yes.
Is it still broken?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
You're a trooper, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah, you definitely are a trooper.
Yes, sir.
And he's still smiling, so that's what matters.
So to tell the story.
Daddy and I were launching me onto the couch.
Well, actually, that's pretty accurate.
Totally 100%.
I never crossed my mind that something could go wrong. I was throwing him onto the couch, and he was pretending to fly like a superhero, and he slid out of my hand sideways, so he didn't make it quite to the couch, and he landed on his head, and I heard a crack, and I thought it was his head, and I picked him up, and he's screaming. I'm like, calm down, you know, and he's crying. I'm like, what hurts? And he's like, my wrist. I'm like, wait, his wrist? And I look at his wrist, and it's crooked. I'm like, oh, crack.
I'm in trouble.
I yell to Lindsay, and I'm like, Lindsay. And she's putting Gemma to sleep for nap. And I'm like, Lynn, she's like, what? And I said, Ben broke his arm. What?
Yeah, Ben broke it. He did it. Wasn't me.
Well, that's how I got her downstairs.
And, quickly.
And when I told her what happened, I've never seen Lindsay look at me like that before.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. To be a fly on the wall.
Oh, just
to see Lindsay's face.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, that'd be great.
Yeah. So let's get on to the next one.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do it. That's right, Ben.
Oh, you're right? Okay.
Hi, Tony. This is calling back. I got a cute story for you that happened to a fellow that I worked with. He was delivering up in Canada, and he was parked out on the street waiting to go into this facility. He had jumped in the back of the sleeper, and all of a sudden, a big splat of yellow hit his windshield. And he's thinking, well, that's some odd-looking bird shit. And before he had a chance to do anything, that bird shit on his window about six more times. The bird, it wasn't a bird, okay? It was the guy across the street shooting paintballs at his truck because he was pissed at all these trucks coming to this trucking company across the street. And he just had enough of all that. And he started popping off paintball and hitting these trucks in the window. Anyway, that gentleman was arrested, and I don't know what happened to him, but the police was called, and he was arrested. Anyway, I just thought that was a funny story. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. Well, while she's talking, Ben's telling me he broke his other wrist. You know, that reminded me of a story, though, where I had a guy at work that I would love to have on, Jake. When he first started driving trailer... Hey, we're trying to do a show here, Benny. When he first started doing driving trailer and stuff, the truck that he had, and to this day, I don't think we know what happened, but it seemed like somebody threw a rock or maybe even shot at his truck and shattered the passenger window completely. He said he just heard a loud bang and the window was shattered.
Wow.
Yeah. So
jeez.
Crazy. That scared the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Talking about a poop story.
Yeah.
We couldn't Dad have joke. One episode without the mention of poop. What in the world? I swear. You guys somehow just draw it out.
We do.
I think the last time I was here, poop was involved.
We're trying to phase it out of the show, but so far the audience hasn't gotten the memo. Maybe right. If I actually say it out loud, like, hey, we don't want poop stories.
It doesn't sound like the audience haven't got the memo. You guys still mention it. Sounds like you guys haven't got the memo.
Yeah. Benny, where'd you go? Bye-bye.
He's out of here.
All right,
see you later,
right.
Ben.
See you, buddy.
All right. So
guess we got boring.
We got two more voicemails left, so let's get to them.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, guys. First off, I just want to say love the show. Love listening to y'all every week. Brian, you one of them old school truckers, man. I mean, I got a lot of respect for you guys. Tony, no disrespect, man, but you're in the new age of it. Just not the same like it was. Not a trucker myself, but I am a son of a trucker.
Cut him. I don't want to hear that. No disrespect.
Nope.
Come on my show and say no disrespect to the host. You're cut, bro.
To a co-host.
Come in my studio and say no disrespect.
I want to hear the rest of that story.
He's cut.
I want to hear the rest of that story.
Fine.
Trucker, and growing up, I rode with my dad countless summers anytime I was out of school. And doing that, I'm glad I did because I really learned a lot about the road and just having respect for the road and having respect for the vehicle you drive. Because a lot of people don't have that. You see them just take off at stoplights and not even glance to make sure traffic's clear or take off at stop signs or whatever. And just riding with my dad, I learned a lot of that. Just pay attention to the road and traffic. And he always said, you know, I know what I'm doing. It's everybody else I'm worried about because I don't know what they're going to do. But I had a pretty cool story a couple weeks ago. I was in a little shop near the house, and I was talking to a guy, and the subject of trucking came along. I was like, yeah, my dad's a trucker. He drove about all his life. And he's like, oh, who'd he drive for? And I said, man, you name it, he's drove for him. And he just kind of laughed, and he's like, well, I drove for such and such, and I've been there 20-some years. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure my dad used to drive there. He said, oh, yeah, what was his name? And I told him his name. He's like, I don't ring a bell. We talked for a couple minutes. He said, what'd you say your dad's name was? And I told him again. He said, no, I don't ring a bell. And I said, well, I said, he went by Hacksaw on the CB for years. And the guy I was talking to perked up. He's like, Hacksaw, oh my God. He said, I ain't seen him in years. And he's like, he used to wear a crew cut, right? And I was like, yeah, he probably just got out of the Marine Corps if he had the crew cut. He's like, yeah, that's Hacksaw. And I just thought that was so cool because you don't hear about CB handles anymore. And you know, just growing up and being with my dad and his trucker friends, they all damn technology. I apologize, guys, but I was just saying, just watching him growing up driving and how he did everything, it really rubbed off on me driving, you know, just a pickup truck or a car or a truck with a trailer and just watching the road and watching what I do and watching what other people do. Just want to brag on him a minute because, I mean, it's been probably 5 years now, but at that time, he's at 2 million miles accident-free, and it's hard telling how many miles he's at now. I mean, it's just wild. He's been coast-to-coast, border-to-border, up into Canada. I'm pretty sure all 48 states, you know, continental U.S. I mean, there's been times I've drove out of state, and he's, oh, yeah, are you going to take this highway and this such interstate? And I'm like, man, I don't know. It's wherever the GPS takes me. He's like, you still a rookie. You'll learn. But I just want to call and say that, and I appreciate what y'all do. Keep it up.
Oh, man. Thanks for calling, and I'm glad I left you on the show.
See? You know what? That worked out. That was fantastic. Yeah. You know, that was a great end to a Father's Day show.
Yeah.
For a guy to call in and brag on his old man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I gotta tell
true.
You.
That's true, yeah.
I gotta tell you, when I first got hired at Pitt, Ohio, I said about how my dad drives out of the Allentown terminal. And they're like, oh, who's your dad? And nobody recognized him. As soon as I said his CB handle Meatloaf, they're like, oh, that MF-er. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I can't stand that man. I was like, it makes two of us.
Join the club.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Yes, thanks.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was a nice way to end the show. That was really cool. Brag on your dad. That's neat. I like that.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about this show.
Too.
Yeah. Well, Hacksaw, right? Yeah. Yeah, cool. I heard that. And I just brought a smile on my face. I was like,
that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the nice thing, too, is like, you know, obviously you guys are father son. You both drive, you know, and it's something that you can talk about. But it sounds like it's just something that when you have that relationship with your dad and you both are drivers, you can have these kind of conversations. Yes. And it's just good.
Remember when I first got hired at Pitt and
every time I came to your house, like we would just sit at the table talking about this
every single time.
Yeah. And then once I got like to the level of frustration with the industry.
what did I tell you when you
first started? Oh my gosh, I remember
that. What'd
you tell Lindsay?
Don't worry, it all happened.
Yeah. I remember I was I left the room. I probably went to go to the use bathroom, and when I left the room, you told Lindsay that one day it'll change and I'm gonna be a miserable SOB.
That's so funny because I remember clearly how excited you were, how much you loved it, and you're like, no,
this is the best place ever. I love doing this for a living.
I've never had a job like this. Is great, they're so good to me. Well,
and they are good.
they are a great company
to work for.
It's just the switch of like
the reality of becoming a it became a job. It became the job.
It went from get to drive to have to drive.
I would start at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'd show up early. I'd be walking in all peppy. Hey guys, how you doing? Everybody else is dragging their butts in and stuff, and I'm just like, let's go, where am I going today? And I'm the last one out. I'm punching out at 9 o'clock at night. I have the last car in the parking lot. I'm like, I got to be the last one out today. All right, let's go.
That's why you got drug tested like 8 times in your first car. What is this guy on?
That's probably what it was, actually. I was so ecstatic. and then it got old. I was like, this sucks. Like, all these hours suck.
Isn't it funny how it changes? It's like, reality sets in. Don't worry, it'll happen.
Mike P, he's been there for 30 plus years now. And he told me when I first started, he's like, they're going to wear you down, driver. That's what he talks. They're going to wear you down. And I'm telling you, like I'm probably a few years in a job. I was like, Mike, you were right. I told you. I started walking with a slouch, like a hunchback, like all the other drivers, dragging my butt into work nice and slow instead of running through the gate. I'm here. I was like, I got to the point where my start time, and I'm like, okay, I got 2 more minutes yet till I'm 2 minutes late. And then I find out that they give you a 5-minute cushion. I'm like, oh, so I can be 5 minutes late. Great. Wow. And so my start time went from 9:30 to 9:35.
Oh my gosh.
That is me at night when I'm waiting to go into work. I'll sit down and look at the clock, and I'm like, I'll look at your mom and I'll go, I still got 2 more minutes. I'm sitting right here at the table. I'm not even getting up to move.
It takes me 27 seconds to walk from this spot to the punch clock, and I'm going to use every second.
I'm taking it. It's all mine. It's all my time before it's yours.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But that's the nature of the job. It's just what it is.
That's the nature of a lot of jobs. It's funnier because you guys firsthand have that experience.
What's that song you were singing, Jack, earlier today?
Yeah. Hey, I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation.
Yeah.
So that we're off quick.
We don't sing that song very often.
If that song was out when I first started, I would have been singing it.
Yes, you would have been.
Show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, all the guys are trying to siphon coffee, and I'm just like, hey, I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation. Yeah. I would have loved it.
Yeah, what's your song now?
Let the bodies.
It's more like just a one word lyric.
Oh man, yeah, that's exactly it. Yep. All right guys, so that was just a blast chopping it up with you, and I hope you all enjoyed this show today for Father's Day. It was just great to be able to sit here with my dad and my brother who is a dad, and Alex who is a guy, and it was Dayton good.
He's a guy.
Hold on a second. I was gonna say, Jay's Jack in trouble.
No emergency announcements now. No.
I was gonna say, Jack in trouble. Bob. Alex is gonna say, "Hey, I'm gonna be a dad." What?
Surprise!
Tell ya!
Alex is just a guy that shows up.
Yeah. Oh man!
And Alex.
Now I'm running out the door.
Oh man! Yeah.
Where's my gun?
Oh man. Yep. But that's what, you know, it's what's good about this is just being able to sit down here and have a conversation with you guys. And hopefully everybody enjoyed that. Happy Father's Day once again to all you fathers out there. You father truckers, right?
Yes.
Mother trucker. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Mother. That didn't, you know, there was a show recently that we wanted to call Mother Trucker because it fit, but I just didn't think it would be a good idea to do it.
what was
you did? You called it Mother Trucker.
Did I call it Mother Trucker?
Yes, oh. That's what we called.
I mean,
Mother,
I knew that.
Mother, that's what we called the Mother's Day pod. Show. That's why that's I keep saying was. Father Trucker. Because that's what we should call this show. We should Father play, Trucker.
We should do a trivia show of how well Tony knows his own shows.
Holy crap! Well, and that was
and the answer is Alex.
No, not this Alex. Oh man, but anyway, so again, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember, when we're preparing for things, you got to prepare.
We don't do that on the outro. Let's just get out of here. All right, guys, until next week, keep the hammer down
in the hammer lane.
Yep, full tanks, full DEF, man. Let's put the sucker in gear and go.
How dare you?
Oh, good.
Yep,
for
full
you.
Tanks, full DEF, man. Let's put the sucker in
How
gear.
How dare
and go.
You? Come on.
Oh, good. Yep,
full
for
tanks,
you.
Full DEF. Full tanks, full DEF, man. Let's put the sucker in gear.
Tony finally figured out how to work his little toy.
I guess I should have just muted that way earlier. But anyway. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Oh!
Suck it. Bye!
Suck it.